It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Jack out today. He is out. Jack out. He will be in tomorrow as the Fritz versus DeCamera 3 happens tomorrow. We'll have more info on that for you in about a half an hour. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Is this series against the Mets bigger than just a regular season series? 67.5% say yes. Joining us now, it's always big. Well, we have Elliot Shore Parks on. Hey, Elliot.
That's exactly right.
I've got a few of them today, man. None of them on purpose.
Off the chain,
also,
man.
isn't it Fritz versus DeCamera 4 because Jack is losing 2-1?
You're right. You're right. I didn't have it written down in front of me, and I screwed it up.
Look at Elliot.
Because he's down 2-1.
I hear that. It sounds like some joy.
Got to motivate him a little bit. Taking off the day before the race, I don't love that.
Well, in fairness to him...
What is he doing today?
But the date was flexible. He just wanted to steal a day before Labor Day happens, and he was originally going to take off a couple of days.
I'm just saying he better be stretching.
He's not.
Yeah, practicing. Yeah.
He's not.
Is he drinking beer all day today?
Can I be honest with you on this? And yes. Then we'll get to the Eagles stuff. I think Jack has accepted if he loses, he loses.
Oh, my God.
He's a bum.
I do.
Wow. Justin.
Yeah, relax over there.
Wow. I just noticed that.
Relax. I just think he's gotten to a... I'm psychoanalyzing him without him here. Uh-huh. But I know Jack, I feel like, as well as anybody who's not his family. And I think when I'm looking at Jack, I think he just wants it to be over already. That's sort of where I think Jack is. Now, Jack is a better physical athlete than Joe. Jack should be able to win the race. But, who knows at this point, you know?
What is his beer? What does he drink?
He's a Miller Lite guy.
I don't even drink Miller Lite all day today.
Well, he could do a couple of Miller Lights.
Okay.
But he can be an IPA guy every once in a while. We don't need the extra calories today, you know? Do you think you think he's going to beat him in the race, though, right?
He better.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll say is when you leave it up to this, I mean, he could trip. He could pull his hand.
Anything could happen.
At this point where he's led it to that. And as to him kind of not really caring, I almost think he's already experienced what it would feel like to lose. So I don't know if actually losing will feel that much different. Like, I think the golf thing, the tennis thing, like, I think – he's probably already experienced it to a point where
it can't get any worse.
The golf crushed him.
Well, but if he does,
he accepted the loss in tennis.
Let's say he loses. I'll just say it now. By the way, tomorrow 11:30 a.m. Glen Mills School. That's where it'll be. But it's going to be 2 minutes long, as most Jack and Joe things are. So I wouldn't plan your day around it. We're working on getting it on YouTube, all that kind of stuff. But tomorrow, 11:30, Glen Mills School. The assuming he wins the race, losing in basketball would be embarrassing in a way that losing in tennis was not.
Oh, for sure.
Do you know what I mean? Because that is tennis is a physical sport, but it's not.
Dude, he cannot lose to Joe DeCamera in basketball.
He can't. He can't. What's that?
Had he lost a month ago, I do think he's benefited from this being stretched, right?
Yes.
Because if he loses in 2 weeks, it'll be Eagles season. The Phillies will be collapsing again. Like, it'll just be different. So I feel like now, he knows it'll be under the radar.
Well, and then we will get to the Eagles. Last thing. I just want to, if Jack is listening, for anyone listening, I want you to prepare yourself for this. If he loses in basketball, I do not care what the Eagles are doing. I am spending a day. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if they beat the Cowboys 75-0. I don't care if they lose 75-0.
Rod may care.
Yeah, well, Rod, I'm telling you right now, if Fritz loses to DeCamera in basketball, that is what I'm talking about that day. I'm breaking down every point, and I've said to Jack, if you play defense in an aggressive way, Joe can't win the basketball.
Right.
It's about defense. Anyway. All right, Elliot, let's talk about the Eagles. The Eagles made a trade for a quarterback. They trade a fifth-round pick and a seventh-round pick for a sixth-round pick and Sam Howell. We all remember Sam Howell because he had the two greatest games of his career against us. What do you think the trade says about Tanner McKee, says about Kyle McCord? What do you think this trade's all about?
So I definitely think this is mostly because of the injury to Tanner McKee. I think if McKee didn't suffer that finger injury, this is probably not a trade that happens. I don't think Tanner is going to be ready for week one. And because of that, I think they did not want, obviously, Kyle McCord to be the backup. They've cut Kyle McCord, which clearly tells you what they think about him in terms of a willingness to expose him to waivers. So I do think this is about Tanner McKee. But there's also, I think, a part of it that is, Sam Howell is a really good backup quarterback. I actually think he is, in some ways, a better backup quarterback than Tanner McKee. Now, in this exact situation, Tanner's been here for 2 years, so I think that's an advantage. But Tanner's never played meaningful snaps in the NFL. Sam Howell has thrown for almost 4,000 yards in a season. He started 18 games. Like, he's played in primetime games. I think there is a lot of benefit to having some kind of proven quarterback behind Jalen on the roster. So I really like the trade. They didn't give up like nothing. Like, a fifth and a seventh isn't nothing. But when you're 32nd in the waiver wire, you have to give up sometimes a little more than you want, because otherwise that player is not going to get to you at 32. So I really like the trade for him.
Yeah, the truth is he was going to get cut.
I would have Sam Howell.
Yeah, Sam Howell.
Oh, yeah, they wouldn't
cut.
Have been able to claim him.
Right,
right. Because somebody else could have grabbed him. Yeah,
yeah.
So you pay a bit of a premium, but I think he is a better backup quarterback for them, definitely than Kyle McCord and arguably Tanner McKee.
Yeah, I mean, listen, as much as I like Tanner McKee and his potential, he does not have the experience that Sam Howell has.
Sure.
So Elliot's right when it comes to that, that Sam Howell has at least played in a season's worth of games and sort of been under a little bit of a spotlight being that guy.
Now, Sam Howell does the one thing that Elliot finds unacceptable is, I think Sam Howell threw a ton of interceptions that year, right?
21 interceptions.
6 foot quarterback, right?
Yeah, I think he's on the shorter side as well.
Yeah.
Don't like the interceptions for sure.
Well, and you would expect they expose Kyle McCord to waivers, but he's a fifth round pick. I mean, I would assume he clears waivers, he ends up on the practice squad. That is what I think they would expect to happen, right?
Yeah, so I would expect he probably does. I would think Howie made this cut probably assuming that he had enough information or hoping that Kyle McCord will make it through waivers. Now, he was a six-round pick, you're right, but he is a quarterback. He played, you know, at a high-level program, at least initially, and then was really good at Syracuse. So I wouldn't completely rule out him getting claimed. And I get it, like, it's a six-round pick. It's not the end of the world. But I do think it's a very disappointing result. Like, this is somebody, a quarterback, that they scouted for a long time. Scott Loeffler, the quarterback coach, has had a relationship with Kyle McCord for a long time. I know the kind of assumption amongst everybody is, well, he wasn't that good in training camp and preseason.
Well, you saw him. Is that different?
Yeah, so I don't think that's completely fair.
Okay.
Like, he probably got maybe 10 reps of practice, if that, and most of them were the developmental reps. I to me, watching him, I think he has an NFL arm. Like, I think he definitely has a really strong arm that can make all the throws. So, clearly, they, you know, not liked what they saw by cutting him, but to cut a rookie before the beginning of the season, I just think that's a disappointing result. And we'll see what the other cuts are. Like, Cam Williams out of Texas, I think he's very much on the bubble. Antoine Powell-Ryland, who is also a late-round pick, he's on the bubble. I know when you make 10 picks and you have a good roster, they're not all going to make it. But for them not to make it into the season, I think would definitely be disappointing.
Well, and they're in a tough spot with McCord unless they love him. Because if you can't have him be the backup in the first couple of games, if McKee can't play, you just can't. And so they needed somebody, and then you're in a roster crunch where what are you going to do? You're going to keep, you know, four quarterbacks on the roster. That's the only way that Kyle McCord doesn't get cut and end up on the practice squad here.
They could have put Tanner McKee on IR, and then he would miss the first four games. So obviously they don't view this injury as serious enough to do that. You could make the argument, if you really liked Kyle McCord, maybe you just kind of forfeit the first four games with McKee, you have Sam Howell, and then you figure it out from there. But obviously, by exposing the waivers, they're letting you know to a certain degree how they feel about Kyle McCord. But if he's back on the practice squad, then no harm, no foul. But if he's gone, that's disappointing.
And last thing here, it seems like an obvious thing. One of the reasons you would feel confident he doesn't, or you hope that he doesn't get claimed, is some other team has to be able to put him on their active roster.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
So all the other teams are facing the same sort of issues that we are right now. Eagles make another trade, and they trade for a familiar face in Fred Johnson, who they could have had for a league minimum salary.
That's got to be a family name, too, by the way.
Fred Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds fake.
No way this kid was born in the 2000s.
It's with Fred. Yeah. He was fine last year, right? I guess
that was a side topic. I'm just saying. I hear Fred Johnson.
You're like, come on, man.
Like, how old is this guy?
Fred?
Scooby-Doo character.
Yeah. Okay.
I would guess this says more about what they think of their offensive line depth more than anything else.
Yeah, their offensive line backups were not good, in my opinion, throughout training camp. And I think it was especially clear in the preseason. Like, I thought the quarterbacks didn't have a lot of time with to work in those preseason games. And you could just tell in camp the way they were trying players at all types of positions that nobody was really finding their home where they wanted them to be. So Fred Johnson only signed for $1.3 million this offseason. I think there is probably some fair criticism there with why not just sign him to that initially. Now, maybe they thought someone would be there in the draft. Maybe they thought they would have another free agent. Like, maybe Fred wanted to go to Jacksonville for a chance to start. But ultimately, I think they deserve some credit for, to a certain degree, not admitting a mistake, but, you know, going and getting the guy that could have signed initially, bringing somebody back, very cheap price. Now, Fred Johnson was good last year. I also think it's worth noting he gave up. He was like 15th in the league in total pressures allowed. So he did allow a lot of pressure. But for a backup tackle, like, that's just what it is. There's not even, 64 good tackles in the NFL, let alone enough for teams to have good backup ones. So I think it's a smart trade. And I also think it kind of makes the backup offensive line clear. Fred Johnson will be the backup at both tackle spots. You'll have Matt Pryor at both guard spots, who can also play tackle if needed, and then you have Drew Kendall, the rookie, that can play center. So this really does kind of make all the puzzle pieces fit.
And they cut Kenyon Green, and they trade Darian Kennard, who was on the team last year.
Yeah, so Kenyon Green, I think also disappointing that this happened. We'll see if they get him to practice squad. I think they traded Chauncey Gardner-Johnson just to trade Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. I don't think they traded him to acquire Kenyon Green. But he's still the player that they traded Chauncey for. We've talked throughout training camp about how that second safety spot is a question. So to, trade Chauncey and get a player back that you cut, that's obviously not the outcome they wanted. So, yeah, that's not good. And then Darian Kennard, you get a six-round pick for him, which I actually think is a good return. Like, they might have cut him anyway. A six-round pick at this time of the year is not nothing. So I think that's a good trade. But the Kenyon thing has not worked out yet. We'll see if he's back on the practice squad, but obviously as of now, that trade's not looking great.
I always love when I see this, Ike.
I'm going to just say this.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on right now with the team.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of, how can I put this? Fluidity as far as the offense looking good, defense looking good. I got more question marks than I do answers. And I'm just saying, we may need to be prepared for a slow start. I'm just saying.
Thank God you're saying it.
Because it's hard for me to imagine, E. They got basically a week and a half to get ready for the Cowboys next week. Now, thank God we're playing America's greatest soap opera in the Dallas Cowboys. There's no cohesion going on that side for those guys. That may be the one saving grace we have with this opening game. Because if that was a quiet opponent we were facing that was locked in on coming in to knock off the defending champs, I'd be a little concerned. We haven't had a lot of on-field time together offensively. Right.
I mean, AJ hasn't practiced
there
at all.
Jalen's been there, but AJ basically hasn't practiced all camp. Devontae's been in and out. We got offensive linemen shuffling. Defensively, we'll find out opening night who's starting where with everybody and what the rotation looks like. And up front, on the outside, I don't even know what we have in our outside guys as pass rushers. I'm just saying, I'm expecting this thing to sort of have to come together over time. I don't know if we're going to hit the ground running and clicking on all cylinders early.
Yeah, I agree with you. I, you know, the injuries themselves in camp, I don't think are concerning in the way that they won't play in week one.
Right.
But having been there every day in camp, I would guess that the 11 players on offense, 11 players on defense that will play the majority of snaps in week one had to have taken less than like 75 snaps together in training camp just because of the timing of when everyone was out, not knowing the starters on defense. So you're right. Like, I don't think the first four games of the season are about style points to me. Like, if they just can go 2-2, I would sign up for that right now. If you just tell me they would go 2-2, you know, and not like have this thing kind of crater at the beginning, mm-hmm. I would take that. The concern is it is a very tough four games. And last year we saw they were able to rebound from 2-2, but they were also like very close to 1-3. Now you could say the Falcons game, they almost won. Like, you could go back and forth, but they were walking on thin ice those yeah. first four games of the season. And luckily they rebounded. So this year though, Dallas, Kansas City, the Rams, Tampa, like, those are all really hard games in my opinion. So they're a good team. They have a lot of talent, but the concern is if you slip early and you're 1-3, you never, like, that's almost impossible to rebound from. So I do think the lack of cohesion is concerning going into the season.
So when are the final cuts due? It's tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow at 4:00. So we'll all be together from 3 to 4. Yeah.
So is there any?
How many have they made already? Have they?
So I think they're at like 5 or 6. Okay. I have the list, but it's probably not. We've talked about the ones you guys probably know. Yep. It's most guys that are at the bottom of the roster, yeah.
So Lewis Cine got cut too, right? Or is he
hurt? Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, he got waived, yeah.
Is there, you know, a name or two of a surprise that you think could get cut and a name or two that might be surprising that you think might make the team?
So the name I would keep an eye on, and not for a cut, but I think could be traded, is Kelee Ringo. He didn't practice in the last day of practice. He didn't take first team reps those last few days of practice. Mm. He's a great special teams player, which I think will help him. But if you look at the cornerback spot, if they keep Kelee, they're probably keeping 6 corners. And that's a lot of corners, especially if, you know, some of them aren't playing special teams. So I would look for a potential Kelee trade as the surprise move. In terms of a surprise player who could make the roster, I mean, I don't know if Darius Cooper would qualify at this point.
Nah.
I feel like, yeah.
You almost expect him to make the roster now.
I mean, the truth is the bottom of the roster is just not great. So I could give you, like, again, Cam Williams out of Texas. I have him on my roster. I think that's a bit of a surprise. He's a tackle that has good athleticism. He was viewed as coming out of the draft early. But the reason it's noteworthy, and you guys talked to Lane last week, I thought it was a really good interview when he talked about, like, pretty openly, maybe he might retire in a year. So I do think there is an advantage to holding young tackles on the roster and trying to develop them for potentially next year.
All right, Elliot, you can get the Go Birds podcast wherever you get your podcast. Comes out every day. It is a must listen. And Elliot, we will see you tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Yep. See you guys tomorrow.
Hey, bro.
Elliot Shore Parks. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing we didn't talk about that allowed the Vikings to get rid of Sam Howell is the Vikings have signed Carson Wentz, which is a good spot for the Bronco, I think, with a quarterback whisperer there, you know, who is able to revive the career of Sam Darnold. Remember, Daniel Jones could have gone to a bunch of different places. He chose to go there because of the work they do with quarterbacks. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. With Tanner McKee out, who is a better backup quarterback, Sam Howell or Carson Wentz?
Oh, well, Wentz. Yeah, there's no way it can happen. Yeah, no way. Yeah, there's no way.
I'm just looking at that. I'm like, why are we getting the worst of the two?
Man. Well, I'm glad the Eagles have some self-awareness. Yeah, I'm glad they aren't totally tone deaf. Yeah, you can't.
Yeah. Can you imagine the show we could have done today?
Yes.
Fritz might have come back.
He definitely would have come off vacation. Yeah. He definitely would have come off vacation to be here today. Yeah, I don't know if we could have handled that.
No. I'll tell you the other thing. Wentz has a chance to play in Minnesota. I like, if you look at the reports out of Minnesota, I don't think J.J. McCarthy's had the greatest camp ever there. And remember, he's coming off an injury, too.
Which is probably why they went to a veteran.
Yes.
Like Wentz as a backup, because they kind of feel like, if it gets too bad, we got to have somebody to go to.
And by the way, they were impressed enough after they just brought him in for a workout, and they decided he was better off than Howell
Sam
was.
Sam Howell, who had been there the entire time.
Yeah. I think Wentz has a chance to play there, and as not a Carson guy, one of the
Deep down, you're a Wentz guy.
I'm not a Wentz guy.
You're a Wentz guy.
Not at all a Wentz guy. But at this point, I'm rooting for him, and I think it is a good spot for him specifically, just because of the infrastructure of the Vikings.
Now, I reserve the right to take back the fact that I was wrong last week when I said I was wrong about Wentz.
Oh, well, it wouldn't be the first time you had changed your mind on something like that.
I reserve the right to change my mind.
Well, you didn't say you didn't like him. You know, just said you were wrong about, and maybe all that stuff has changed about him. You know, he's been humbled.
Appreciate you.
He's been humbled. Yeah, you could have been wrong about that, and he could still change. And you know, all right. So coming up next,
right? Hang in there, Bronco.
Yeah, hang in there.
Hang in there.
Let the Bronco bust.
215-592-9494.
I didn't know I had a Wentz hater.
Yeah,
on the boards. I'm used to Fritz as a Wentz lover.
Oh, are you a Wentz hater?
Shot a lot of ducks.
I'm not a Wentz guy. Okay. No. You have to think of it this way: that like the first like real successful era of Eagles football that I remember, because I don't remember Donovan.
Oh, it's Carson.
Was Carson? So then Carson himself.
Donovan, how old is
he? I'm 25.
Jesus.
Like I really don't remember those
games.
We're
old, man.
The first Eagles quarterback I truly remember is Michael Vick.
Okay.
Dude, I mean, that was a long time ago.
So the first, successful...
Yeah, you're not remind me, Spike. I know it was a long time ago.
Yeah, you know.
The first, successful...
Been a couple of Super Bowls since then.
...is Carson, and then Carson forces his way out, so of course I don't really like him.
Yes. Okay, all right.
All right, well, you can grow up, though, and have your own thoughts.
That is my own thought. When he left, I cried. When they traded him, I literally cried.
Oh,
and then the way he handled himself...
Somebody poisoned your mind.
No, the way he handled himself after he left, I just didn't like it.
All right. All right.
He poisoned my mind.
Oh, there we go.
The way he talked about, the way he kind of just like let everything go and went to Indianapolis and kind of threw Doug under the rug and all these things under the rug, forced his way out of here, didn't want to compete with Jalen. I didn't like it. It was soft. For a second overall pick to have that mentality, it was soft.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let the Broncos.
You understood that as an adolescent.
And I still understand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And if you want to talk soft, the fake concussion. He pulled himself out of the game. That's just me talking.
Fake concussion?
Yeah, wow.
Are you talking about Jadeveon Clowney?
Yeah.
No. Yeah, he didn't literally get hit in the back of the head.
Pulled himself out of the game.
Did he really pull himself out of the game?
I mean,
Josh McCown had
All right. Coming up next, ESPN comes up with an idea for the Eagles to trade for a superstar edge rusher. And we will give you all of the details for Jack's race tomorrow if you want to go see him win. And we'll get back to our conversation about Bryce or lose. 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.